we get things underway this hour by welcoming back to the program a professor, author. She wrote the wonderful book on the Lewiston High School soccer team from a few years ago, One Goal. We're pleased to be joined by Amy Bass. Amy, welcome.
Hi there. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, we're doing as well as we can, given the situation. How about you?
Well, I'm at, you know, we're no longer special. I live in New Rochelle, New York, so we were special for a while, and now everyone else seems to be catching up to us, and so I'm not dealing with the heat of the epicenter kind of headline anymore.
No, but you wrote a wonderful piece on Forward.com, Notes from the Future, about what it was like in New Rochelle. What were those early days like when you realized, for better or worse, that you were ahead of the curve?
I think the early days, I think we were all sort of in the same place where we were just being told, like, hey, wash your hands, don't touch your face, it's fine. And I think that we've learned a lot since then. But I think that, you know, we saw my daughter's school was one of the first schools closed on the East Coast, not because there was any diagnosis or infection there, but because it was in what the governor called the containment zone, which was a circle that he drew in our city that paid geographic sense sort of to the outbreak, but didn't necessarily make community sense in terms of who goes to what school and how our community moves. You know, so our kids have been home longer than most other parts of the country. Homeschooling has been going on longer. I am, as a college professor, I am now converting my courses online and dealing with my own students. We were on spring break, and there is no end to spring break, it seems. So it's, you know, I think we're just a little bit better at it right now, perhaps, than others. We know, for example, I was talking to my next door neighbor, if her family and my family stays inside for 14 days, then, you know, maybe we can have them over to dinner.
Well, it's interesting, and you talked about communicating across streets and across yards with people and having people on the porch at a safe distance. And in my neighborhood today, it was actually very sweet. There were a couple young kids having birthdays today in the neighborhood, and of course, birthday parties are out. So at 10 o'clock this morning, neighbors gathered on their front porches to sing happy birthday to the two neighborhood kids.
Yeah, we had that yesterday. We had twins turning 14, two houses down. So my daughter and I painted, which was a nice respite from sort of the daily grind of online work. We painted a giant sign for them and posted it up. It's just, you know, it's we're spending a lot of time doing long walks and waving to people, and it's an odd sense of community. But as I always am writing about, community is a lot of work, and we need to put the work into it to stay connected even while we're keeping ourselves so far apart.
And one of the things that was especially tough in your family was the realization that baseball, particularly the Red Sox, weren't going to start on time.
Yeah, you know, I wrote about that for CNN last week because I think that sports helped wake America up. I think that we were very slow to sort of recognize what was going on around the rest of the globe and understand that viruses don't really obey borders. And so I think at the NBA, which I find to always sort of be out in the lead for progressive notions and common sense, I think and the NBA making its announcement and then the other sports following suit, really taking that away from our daily lives, I think sort of said to people, this is the real deal. We got to do this.
We're talking with Amy Bass here on Downtown. The course you teach, one of the courses you teach is sports studies. Do you think when all of this is said and done and we get a return to some level of normalcy, will it change the way people watch sports or depend on sports?
Well, I think it's going to change the way we socially interact for a really long time. Even when we have, hopefully, knock on wood, you know, the antivirals that we're going to need and the vaccines that we're going to need, I wonder about large crowds, and so I wonder about the way we digest movies and sports and other events where we all come together. You know, I think of if I have to pick my top 10 favorite life moments, so many of them have to do with my time at the Olympic Games or a World Series game or just, you know, taking my daughter to spring training for the first time in Fort Myers, Florida. And I wonder, looking forward, if we're still going to see that, or if there's, you know, if somebody's going to buy four seats because they need two and they don't want anyone sitting next to them.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing yesterday, that even when sports resume, I just have a hard time picturing 40, 50,000 people feeling comfortable gathering in a stadium.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. And I also wonder if we're going to be a little bit more open about the sports that we love. You know, South Korea announced that it was going to try to get basketball going again because South Korea has done a masterful job of flattening the curve, as we're starting to call it. And all over Twitter, everyone was like, okay, tell me who to root for. I'm in. South Korea's got basketball. I want to watch. And I thought, okay, so, you know, one guy posted, just tell me who's most like the Celtics, and that's my team. And I think that, you know, that's, I keep trying to find the silver linings. And if we can recognize sports that maybe aren't part of who we are in our world, and other sorts of things like that, then, you know, maybe there's some good. I certainly know people are way more grateful for the work that teachers do right now because they're getting a real intimate view of what it's like inside a classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm a high school teacher full-time, and we're just transitioning into what our next steps will be, but a lot of folks are doing some version of online learning. You're doing that with their students, and everything I'm hearing from teachers, and I wonder if you're getting this reaction as well, is that students are so happy, excited to have that ongoing communication with teachers.
Absolutely. I did virtual office hours today via on Blackboard using it's Collaborate, which is the academic version of something like Zoom or Skype. And I had students just, you know, wandering in and showing up, not because they had a question or a problem, but they wanted to hang out in the room with me. And so, you know, we were all on headsets and we were talking and just talking about stuff. I think that that connection that we have with students is so important, whether you're, you know, my daughter's in seventh grade, getting one of her teachers sends a morning email that has nothing to do with their work. Sometimes it's a cartoon or a riddle or a joke, but just the human contact of I'm thinking about you and you matter. And that has nothing to do with tests or assessments or learning outcomes. It just has to do with, again, being part of a community and doing the work that makes people feel like they belong.
Everybody says, well, I've got this extra time now, and I'm going to do some of those things I always planned on doing. But yet I see, and I think I've been somebody who's done it myself, hopefully that'll change soon, but I'm spending more time on social media. And it would be great if people stopped doing that and looked at some of those other pursuits. But I'm also seeing families having their kids as part of their at-home work write letters to distant relatives. And wouldn't that be remarkable if we took a step in that direction and more people wrote letters or even made actual phone calls instead of texting?
Yeah, no, we definitely have grandma time every day. My mother's 85 and a half years old, and so she is definitely isolated and staying home, and I can't go visit her because I live in New Rochelle and I'm not visiting anybody. And so, you know, absolutely, anything like that. I mean, you know, service learning projects for kids in schools right now in our district is about making cards and letters and sending them to the nursing homes because nursing homes are closed to outsiders, and what a terrible thing that is. So how can we help brighten someone's day by doing something like that? But on the flip side of that, I have no free time. Migrating curriculum online, helping my daughter with her work, my husband is working from home. It's flat out. I think I see less of them being home with them all day than I did when we were coming and going with our own schedules.
And the piece at forward.com, a very poignant line, you said, we are a ghost ship. Are you still at that stage?
Yeah, I think that we are. I think that a ghost ship is a boat that runs without being able to see anybody, sort of this ethereal presence. And you know, right now, we know that our community is there, but not because we can necessarily see it. It isn't about who's in a restaurant or who's shopping or is it hard to find a parking space. Those things don't exist right now. So we know we're here and we're doing what we can to make sure that everyone knows that we're here, but not in the ways that we're used to doing it and not in any way that, you know, the helicopters that for a couple of weeks were hovering over us were seeing.
Well, Amy, we wish you continued luck, good health. Keep doing what you're doing. We certainly appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Thanks, Rich. So great to be with you all. You're one of my favorite shows.
Thank you. It's Amy Bass, author of One Goal, joining us here on Downtown.